He grabbed Roland's arm, pulled him down, and whispered in the gunslinger's ear, "Don't forget that Tower and Deepnow have an appointment at the Turtle Bay Washateria 4 years from now. Tell him 47th Street between 2nd and 1st. He probably knows the place. Tower and Deepnow were, are, will be the ones who saved Don Callahan's life. I'm almost sure of it." Roland nodded, then crossed to Tower, who initially cringed away and then straightened with a conscious effort. Roland took his hand in the way of the collar and led him outside. When they were gone, Eddie said to Deepnow, "Draw up the contract, he's selling." Deepnow regarded him skeptically. "You really think so?" "Yeah," Eddie said, "I really do." 7. Drawing the contract didn't take long. Deepnow found a pad in the kitchen. There was a cartoon beaver on top of each sheet and the legend, "Damn Important Things to Do," and wrote it on that, pausing every now and then to ask Eddie a question. When they were finished, Deepnow looked at Eddie's sweat-shiny face and said, "I have some Percocet tablets. Would you like some?" "You bet," Eddie said. If he took them now, he thought, hoped he would be ready for what he wanted Roland to do when Roland got back. The bullet was still in there for sure, and it had to come out. "How about 4? Deepnow's eyes measured him. "I know what I'm doing," Eddie said, then added, "unfortunately." 8. Aaron found a couple of children's band-aids in the cabin's medicine chest, Snow White on one, Bambi on another, and put them over the hole in Eddie's arm after pouring another shot of disinfectant into the wound's entry and exit points. Then, while drawing a glass of water to go with the painkillers, he asked Eddie where he came from. "Because," he said, "although you wear that gun with authority, you sound a lot more like Kyle and me than you do him." Eddie grinned. "There's a perfectly good reason for that. I grew up in Brooklyn, Co-op City," and thought, "Suppose I were to tell you that I'm there right now, as a matter of fact. Eddie Dean, the world's horniest 15-year-old, running wild in the streets. For that Eddie Dean, the most important thing in the world is getting laid. Such things as the fall of the Dark Tower and some ultimate baddie named the Crimson King won't bother me for another..." Then he saw the way Aaron Deepnow was looking at him and came out of his own head in a hurry. "What? Have I got a booger hanging out of my nose or something?" "Co-op City's not in Brooklyn," Deepnow said. He spoke as one does to a small child. "Co-op City's in the Bronx. Always has been." "That's," Eddie began, meaning to add ridiculous. But before he could get it out, the world seemed to waver on its axis. Again, he was overwhelmed by that sense of fragility, that sense of the entire universe, or an entire continuum of universes, made of crystal instead of steel. There was no way to speak rationally of what he was feeling because there was nothing rational about what was happening. "There are more worlds than these," he said. "That was what Jake told Roland just before he died. Go, then, there are other worlds than these." And he must have been right, because he came back. "Mr. Dean?" Deepnow looked concerned. "I don't understand what you're talking about, but you've come over very pale. I think you should sit down." Eddie allowed himself to be led back into the cabin's combination kitchen and sitting room. Did he himself understand what he was talking about? Or how Aaron Deepnow, presumably a lifelong New Yorker, could assert with such casual assurance that Co-op City was in the Bronx when Eddie knew it to be in Brooklyn. Not entirely, but he understood enough to scare the hell out of him. Other worlds. Perhaps an infinite number of worlds, all of them spinning on the axle that was the tower. All of them were similar, but there were differences. Different politicians on the currency, different makes of automobiles, Takuro Spirits instead of Datsuns, for instance, and different Major League Baseball teams. In these worlds, one of which had been decimated by a plague called the Superflu, you could time-hop back and forth, past and future, because in some vital way, they aren't the real world. Or if they're real, they're not the key world.